A slave or a servant of God is one who cooperates with God in achieving God's purposes in the lives of others. That's what it means to be a servant.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The marks of servanthood, based on the closing verses of the second chapter of 2 Timothy. We've given a great deal of attention to certain sections of this chapter and some that we're now passing over. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul uses seven metaphors at least to describe what it means to be a Christian. One, he says a Christian is a steward, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, a Christian is a soldier, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Three, a Christian is like an athlete, in verse 5. Four, a Christian is as a farmer, verses 6 and 7, the husbandman or the farmer. In verses 8 to 13, he kind of reinforces those metaphors with real-life experiences, the experience of Jesus Christ himself, the experience of the Apostle Paul himself, the common experience of the Christian brotherhood. That would be verses 8 to 13. And then number 5, he says there's a fifth metaphor that illustrates what it means to be a Christian. He's like a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, verses 14 to 18. He's like a vessel, verses 19 to 22. And then finally, Paul says he's like a servant, verses 23 to 26. Always in the Bible, there is this recurring theme of servanthood. And none of the biblical authors seem to fear the constant repetition of that theme or of that concept. They are all aware of that principle of pedagogy or teaching that repetition is the mother of all learning. And they're constantly going over that theme in one way or another in many different ways, sharing the facets and nuances of it. That theme or that concept of servanthood, it's always surfacing in the authors of the New Testament. You preach through the books of the Bible, you're frequently touching on that concept. There's always a dignity, according to the Bible. There's always a dignity, a nobility associated with Christian service. Jesus himself said, even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Literally, not to be served, but to serve and to give. That's what a servant always does. He gives of himself and all of his resources, sacrificially, lovingly, patiently, to meet the needs of other people. He came to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20 in verse 28. And I think that's a spirit that needs to be cultivated in each of our lives individually, and perhaps that's a spirit that needs to be cultivated across the spectrum of this church body corporately. It's always the case in every New Testament church, wherever we happen to be. This is a spirit that needs constant cultivation and development in our lives, the spirit of servanthood. And it's the rich theme with which Paul closes out these metaphors of Christian living in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think that every one of us ought to discern what it means to be a servant. And then we ought to go one step further and decide to be all that God intended for us to be. One, we ought to discern what it means to be a servant. And two, we ought to decide to become the servant of God that God intended for us to be. And I want you to notice with me, if you will, for a moment here, three great marks of servanthood as they are presented in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 23 to 26. Three great marks of servanthood. The first thing I see here is the character of a servant. That's in verses 24 and 25. And in a word, Paul would have us to understand and know that a servant is humble. That reflects his character. And he uses five words or ideas to identify that. One, his character, in a word, is humble, verses 24 and 25. And then secondly, his conduct. And that backs up into verse 23, includes that verse, and also a bit of verse 24, and also 25, first part of it. 23, 24, and 25. His conduct. In a word, he's honest. He knows when he ought to speak and when he ought not to speak. He knows what he ought not to say, and he knows what he ought to say, and he does it. True servant of God does it. And then thirdly, I want you to see his great concern. And that's in verses 25, the last part of it, and verse 26. He's praying that God will give to those to whom he's ministering a spirit of repentance and that they will respond. They will actually repent. God will do His mighty work in their hearts, and they will respond to that work and repent of their sins and be converted, embrace the truth. And there will be three powerful effects that will come flowing into their lives if they will do that. So let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, the character of a servant. In a word, he's humble. And there are really five terms that you may just want to jot down very briefly. There are really five terms that identify this humility of a servant. First of all, Paul says he is a slave. That's literally the rendering of the word there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. He is literally a slave. There's a word for servant, there's a word for slave, and this is the word for slave. The slave is a man who has abandoned himself to the will of his master and has no will at all of his own. The slave is a man who has abandoned himself to the will of his master, and he has no will at all of his own. And so the Christian slave is the man who has abandoned himself to the will of God. He's bowed the knee before Jesus Christ. And he has purposed that he will immerse the interests of his own will in selflessness. And he will instead spend the rest of his life fulfilling the will of God, doing precisely what God tells him to do, revealed in the principles of Scripture. Paul says, at one time we were somebody else's slave. At one time we were the slaves of sin, Romans 6 and verse 20. And he says in that verse we had a certain element of freedom. We were the slaves of sin, and we were free from righteousness. But who wants to be free from righteousness? He says the effect which that worked was death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. We were the slaves of sin, we were free from righteousness, and that produced death in our lives. But now, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have become the servants, or literally the slaves of God, Romans 6 and verse 22. And now we're free from sin. We, who are Christians, are free from sin's penalty immediately when we receive Christ as our Savior. We'll never face that awesome penalty. We're delivered from the clutches of Sheol, from the clutches of hell. It'll never captivate us. We're set free from sin's penalty. We're progressively set free from sin's power. We will be ultimately set free from sin's presence. We are free from sin, and that works in us everlasting life, Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. We have become the slaves of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a servant of God. It means to be abandoned to the will of God. It means to immerse my own interests, my own selfish, willful desires in selflessness and spend the whole of my life performing God's will and God's function. On a practical basis, a slave of God or a servant of God, on a practical basis, a slave or a servant of God is one who cooperates with God in achieving God's purposes in the lives of others. That's what it means to be a servant. I wonder how many of us are efficient at that. We're to live out our lives cooperating with God in achieving God's purposes or God's goals in the lives of others. That's what I'm supposed to spend and be spent at. I'm to take all of my potential, all of my vigor, all of my spiritual, physical, and psychological dynamic, all of the gifts and potential and powers that God gives to me, and I'm to spend and be spent at this business of cooperating with God and achieving His goals in the lives of other people. That's what it means to be a servant, to be a slave. God has two powerful goals. One is immediate, the other is ultimate. God's immediate goal is to save our souls. That's conversion. God's ultimate goal is to sanctify our souls or make us conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversion is instantaneous. Our sanctification or conformity to the image of Jesus is progressive. And people who are God's servants are spending the whole of their life cooperating with God and achieving those goals in the lives of those around them. That's what it means to be God's slave, God's servant. Now, Paul says, here's how I want you to do this. Now that you know what it's all about, here's how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to function as a servant or as a slave of God. Do you notice those other terms which define our character, our humility? We are slaves. How do we carry out this ministry of functioning as God's slaves and God's servants? He says, I want you to be gentle. I want you to be gentle unto all. That makes it tough. If you just leave out that comprehensive term, all, it'll be a little easier. There are certain people I don't mind being gentle with. There are certain people that make it difficult to be gentle. Have you ever met any? He says, I want you to be gentle unto all. I want you to have a spirit which is the opposite of harshness and irritability. If you are harsh and irritable, you will not function well as God's servant, as God's slave. I want you to be approachable, easy to talk to. Maybe we fail with our children. Maybe we fail in our marriages with our partners. Maybe we fail in our ministries in the New Testament local church because we're harsh, because we're irritable, because we're not approachable, because they're afraid to talk to us. Maybe they fear to talk to us. Paul says to Timothy, you can't be that kind of a servant. You've got to be gentle. It's a special term, the term gentle. The Greeks used it to describe the mildness of a mother ministering to her own children who are very trying. The Greeks used it of a teacher dealing gently and patiently with stubborn and recalcitrant students. And even when we're instructed in the Bible to speak critically, and we are on occasion, or to point out error, and we are to do that on occasion, the Bible says we're to do it gently, which means we're never to seek to harm, but only to seek to help. I want you to be gentle. And then he says, I want you to be apt to teach. That's another way in which you perform your function as a slave or a servant of God. You're to be gentle, you're to be apt to teach. What does that mean to you? To me, that means, one, that I am to be teachable. Before I can teach, I must be taught. So the servant of the Lord, first, is a man who's willing to be taught. And then secondly, he is apprehended by, consumed with, taken up with the powerful truths of God's Word and the powerful principles that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once he has been taught those principles, he has that humble, teachable spirit. He uses his gifts and his abilities and his times and his talents to communicate that truth to others. He teaches, transmits essential truth. I think in the biblical model, the finest and most effective teaching is not done exclusively by speaking. There must be a speaking. The message must be enunciated. It must be told. But in the biblical model, the finest and most effective teaching is not done exclusively by speaking, but by being, by my example, which backs up what I say. Even the man with a gift of no words, he cannot speak. He cannot articulate. Even the man who does not have the gift of words can teach by his very life the mighty power of Jesus Christ as it's reflected in his life. Be apt to teach. And then he says, I want you to be patient. I want you to be patient. You know, this whole business of being a servant of God and understanding the implications of the character of a servant can be very convicting to us. These are very grassroots concepts. They're right down on the level where we live. He says, I want you now to be patient. What does that word mean, patient? It's not the customary word for patient. There are two or three basic words in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament, for patient, but this is not one of the customary words for patient. It means literally enduring evil or hardship without resentment. That's literally what it means. It means enduring evil or hardship without resentment. It means holding up under resistance without becoming resentful. It's the meaning of the term. You know why it's so relevant? Because whenever you begin to gently teach the Word of God, lovingly, firmly, powerfully, comprehensively, whenever you begin to gently teach the Word of God, the mighty principles of Scripture, whenever you begin to witness as Christ's slave and as Christ's servant, you're not always going to be met warmly. You're going to be met on occasion with a certain level of resentment and hostility. How should you respond when that happens? Patiently.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We're called not to parade our knowledge on a given subject. We're called to preach Christ. The servant of the Lord knows it.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.